At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's see if I remember how to do this. Welcome in on a Saturday night here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Rick Uccino, Iridian Fierro. We are here. We are back. Back from our holiday break. That was only a holiday break for one of us. Iridian, it's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you too, Rick.
I'm happy to be back here on a Saturday night. Talking a little bit of pro wrestling again, and Cresta was holding down the fort for us for the last few weeks, so we gave her the night off. You know, we figured we'll give her that little bit of a break, and then one day I'll get mine. But I digress. How are you? How's life?
I'm doing so well. I had a much deserved vacation. I was in beautiful sunny Mexico for 2 weeks. It was wonderful. I did, however, miss you, and I missed Cresta, and I missed all of our Fightful family.
Don't you lie to me. You didn't think about me once while you were basking in the sun while I'm sitting here in a literal foot of snow.
If it helps, Chicago also has snow, but we talked about it before we went on air. Not as much snow as you guys got, apparently.
This is the most snow we've gotten in 10 years. We don't get snowfall. Like, we don't get that lake effect stuff y'all get up in Chicago. I'm not going to be able to move tomorrow. 2 hours shoveling the longest driveway in my town, which is nice, but it sucks when winter rolls around, but it is what it is. Hopefully if you were hit by, Winter Storm Blair this week, hopefully you're good. You got power. Everything's great. And you were able to watch tonight's episode of AEW Collision. And you are here, myself and Iridian, tonight as we break down our 2 hours worth of action. Headline for me by Hot Girl Graps tonight. Should have been the main event, but I'm a little bit biased. I've really grown into a big Harley Cameron guy, and I'm not just saying that because I had a chance to interview her for Sports Illustrated a few weeks ago, but really, really big fan of hers, big fan of Mariah Mays. Once again, I was left wanting a little bit more of the women's division on the show tonight, but there was still some good action across the board. Commander is another guy who is just growing on me. And, honestly, much of the AEW fan base as well. So a lot to dive into tonight. Get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air tonight. And I promise you, and Drew will make sure I do it, I will read every single one of them before I get out of here. I'm out of practice. It's been like 5 weeks since I hosted a show, it feels like, on this channel. But we'll get through it together. We will get through it together, and I will read every single comment. Iridian, are you ready to go? You fired up?
Let's do it. As the two hot girls on Fightful, you and I are super qualified to review Hot Girl Graps tonight. So let's do it.
Yes. Sure. I'll hop right in and under that description for sure. Our opening contest tonight, though, was Adam Copeland, aka Cope. I'm having a hard time getting used to that one. I just got used to Adam Copeland, and now he wants to be called Cope. Like, go back to Adam Copeland, please. Anyway, he defeated Big Bill via submission tonight. Look, he may not have won the match tonight. I thought this was a great showing for the Redwood, honestly. He was hit with an Impaler DDT. He was hit with a spear, kicked out at two, much to the surprise of Adam Copeland and Chris Jericho, who was on commentary for this match. I honestly thought he did a really, really good job. Say what you want about Chris Jericho and his character, and I know there are people that are sick of him and this, that, and the other thing. He's got go-away heat for a lot of people. In this match in particular, on commentary, he did his job tonight. When Big Bill kicked out of the spear, the shock and enthusiasm on his face, great camera angle to get Jericho on commentary, it really, really sold that moment. And I thought it was a great way to make Big Bill look strong, even though we knew he wasn't going to win this matchup. But the way that Adam Copeland did win this matchup surprised me in the fact that we saw him go down the Death Riders pass. He shoves the ref out of the way, gives Big Bill a shot to the pills, right? Kick, low blow, and then hits him with a spear. And then right out of Moxley's playbook, it's the elbows to the neck area, and then he locks him in the bulldog choke, and Big Bill did not tap, but he did pass out. So again, a great way to make Bill look strong, and we know he is, but Adam Copeland gets the win tonight, and I think sends a little bit of a message to Jon Moxley in the process. He's not afraid to get dirty. He's not afraid to get dirty.
Let me talk to you about the name change, because I haven't watched wrestling since I have been here. And next thing you know, he changed his name. I was still calling him Edge sometimes. So Making that adjustment, like you said, to Adam Copeland, and now it's just Cope. I went down a whole TikTok spiral of people saying, how are we going to cope with this name change?
Oh, like, God. The puns are terrible. The puns are absolutely terrible.
It was insane. So to see him tonight, and I'm like, oh my God, confirmed, because that's what the ring announcer called him. I was like, wow, interesting. But I do think that you and I are on the same boat, because I also wrote, what a showing for Big Bill. And we both use that same word. Like, the showing was fantastic. He looked really, really strong up there. Like, he could be a top contender for some championships. Like, that's how he was looking. And the way that Chris Jericho was talking about him on commentary, shout outs to Chris Jericho. I have my thoughts on him, and I don't think he should have been the main event tonight. But on commentary, he's always going to deliver. So he did his job fantastic tonight on commentary for this match. And it ended in a brawl. So.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of that, on the show. Alan Jeanette with a super chat. We appreciate that. The Redwood should have won the match, he says. The way that Cope won this match stunk. Love ya, Colliders. Yeah, it was confusing, but the more that I thought about it, right? And again, this is me kind of having being a little bit more closer to the situation, because I literally just talked to Adam Copeland again for SI. You can follow all my work at Rick Uccino on Twitter. I just talked to him about this, and he's talking about this rivalry that he wants to have with Jon Moxley. And he used words like gritty and dirty. And, you know, I think that's what they were trying to get across as the story tonight, is he's not afraid to stoop to Mox's level to take that AEW championship away from him. I believe that's the story they were trying to tell tonight. Do you think that they did it effectively, Iridian?
Yeah, I think that they did. And if they're going to make this a continuing feud, it's interesting to see Adam kind of, or Cope, to see. And I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy.
Just got used to Adam Copeland. I just got used to it.
It just happened. But if we're going to see this feud, it's interesting to start to see him kind of use the same methods, the same tactics that the Death Riders use, that Jon Moxley kind of like violence, nitty gritty stuff. That's like, oh man, I don't know if you should be doing that. But if you're going to face a guy like Jon Moxley, why not? Like, you have to kind of stoop to that level. So it's going to be cool to see this feud.
After the matchup was over, Jericho and Brian Keith immediately hit the ring. They're, you know, just, pun intended, laying the wood to Adam Copeland. And FTR rushes the ring, makes the save. All out brawl breaks out, but a swarm of security personnel kind of put a stop to things before that particular fight got too out of hand. I guess, you know, they clocked out early at the end of the show, but I digress. Tony Khan then informed Tony Schiavone that all members of Rated FTR and the Learning Tree would be barred from ringside for tonight's main event, which was Jericho against Dax Harwood. One of the segments of the night for me, Iridian, though, was what we saw after this, which was a pre-recorded sit-down promo with Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah.
Where he essentially is reflecting over his character arc and his shift over the last year or so. Says, like, you know, all of the work, right, that he put into protect his family and keep some form of, you know, anonymity and peace outside of, you know, even the smallest bits of fame were basically stolen from him when Swerve broke into his house. Right. And he went to these dark, dark places basically because he felt like out of necessity, right? Like he didn't want, you know, he felt embarrassed. He felt, you know, vulnerable. He felt like ashamed to even walk into Dynamite and Collision or Rampage on a given week. And he could either be that guy or he could go to these places and do these heinous things to make sure stuff like that doesn't happen again. And it was a nice little peel back of the entire year that Hangman Adam Page has had. And all of that led up to him challenging Christopher Daniels to a Texas death match at Maximum Carnage Collision next Saturday. What did you make of this?
That's going to be such a crazy match. Like Swerve took Hangman's sense of security. And by invading that home, like, of course, Hangman was going to lose his mind. He burned Swerve's house down. Like the storyline, it was the burning of the house. So I'm not surprised that Hangman cut this incredible promo because Hangman could possibly be the king of promos. Like that man knows how to talk, knows how to tell a story. He's probably one of the top five people for having that ability. But man, it was just so good tonight. And he wasn't the only one who cut a good promo because I was also very impressed with a promo that they showed later involving Hobbs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to get to that. Yeah, for yeah.
It's so good. But yeah, no, I was very impressed by this promo tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was a great, you know, also kind of a great recap of the build between, you know, himself and Christopher Daniels. Because I'm sitting here and I'm going, we're really jumping from like a punch one week to a Texas death match. Like,
yeah. Which,
but, you know, so, you know, there have been those increasing moments of tension, you know, from his time as like that, the stand in EVP. So while this may be a little bit of a leap. Right. It's a little bit of a leap. But hey, look, if they want to throw, especially since, you know, it's in Cincinnati next week, they want to throw me a Texas death match. Fine. I'm not going to complain about it.
And, you know, I feel like some people like Christopher Daniels had said that they kind of because he wasn't active in 2024, they kind of forgot what he did. Yeah. But he said that he like any company that was ever any company, someone said it's just death.
It's just death. Who cares?
It's just death. It doesn't matter. But man, it's going to be crazy to see Christopher Daniels kind of in that environment. Cause he's like, Hangman, I was your friend. I was trying to help you and you don't want my help. Fine. So this is going to be interesting to see where they take it.
For sure. And that one is going to be, so that'll be Thursday night that they're going to be doing this matchup for next Saturday's Collision. This is going to be weird. Cause I'm going to be on the post show next week after watching a show that I attended live.
Yeah.
Gonna be interesting.
So hopefully it's still fresh in your mind.
Well, yeah, and it'll be nice to get the commentary and some of the other stuff that you miss, you know, when you're not there in person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I digress. We had Pac facing Commander, and he took out the Ring of Honor champion tonight, television champion, World of Ring of Honor World Television Champion via submission. This was exactly what we thought it was going to be, Iridian, right? It was fast-paced, a lot of action. The Bastard finishes him off after he gets the knees up on a 450 splash attempt, and then just so smooth, seamless transition right into the Brutalizer. Commander couldn't go anywhere. He had no choice but to tap out. I loved the storytelling from commentary on this one, because at one point, Pac went outside to attack Alex, and they're bringing up the fact that This was basically his former manager for with the
Death Triangle. Yeah.
Thank you, Death. I kept wanting to say Death Riders. There's so much death in AEW. Why is there so much death? But yes, the Death Triangle. I love that aspect of it, and it almost costing Pac this matchup. But man, like, I'm never not impressed with Pac, but Commander is a guy who just continues week in and week out this meteoric rise that he's on, because people gave Tony Khan so much shit for just randomly throwing Commander in the Continental Classic, right, as the injury substitution. Might be a very smart decision in the end game here, because Commander just keeps getting over week in and week out, and now he is building a new star within his company. And Commander is, yeah, he's bought me. I'm in. I'm more Commander on my screen, please.
Yeah, Commander is a star in my eyes. Put all the championships on him, as many as you can on him in his run in AEW, in Ring of Honor. I think we have the same notes for tonight. Like, I was so excited for this match. This was the one that was advertised that I saw, and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get to see Commander and Pac. Like, this is going to be so good. And it absolutely delivered. It could have been, if not the main event, the second main event, because this match was just fantastic. It really gave me everything that I was expecting. I was expecting some high flying quickness, just the wow factor I knew that I was going to get in this match. And I definitely did. And I love that commentary brought in that little snippet of like, oh, Nigel was like, he's been wanting to do this to Alex forever. And I was like, all right, Nigel, I don't know about
calm forever, down, Nigel,
but settle down, Nigel. It was just a really interesting play that they threw in there, because, you know, Triángulo de la Muerte, Death Triangle, they were it. Like, they were the champions. And now, you know,
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
That Penta's not there, that Ray's injured. We don't know how long he's going to be here for. And Pac is now kind of thrown into Death Riders, but not Death Riders, like Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know. It was just a lot. So to see,
I mean,
him,
yeah, if you think about, I believe it was Sean who reported, Sean Rossap, best $5 in the business, Fightful Select. Look, it was supposed to be Death Triangle who won the Trios titles at All In, and it ended up being Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler who won the Trios titles instead. So that, I mean, everything that's going on with the Lucha Bros has transitioned Pac into the Death Riders, which I think he fits there. So it's been like a seamless transition for him. But yeah, it's one of those things that wasn't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And now, like, I guess that really would play into him attacking Alex tonight, and if he's going to continue to attack Alex in any way, shape, or form, because like we said earlier, there's a lot of death. So
apparently it's just the underlying theme of All Elite Wrestling, apparently. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
The theme of tonight, though, outside of death. Was run-ins, right? So as soon as this match ends, as soon as Commander taps out, Claudio and Wheeler make their way down to the ring to inflict even more punishment upon this man, because they're still pissed that he, you know, clocked Claudio and beat him in the Continental Classic. But then we get the Outrunners, and the pop that those guys got, it just puts a smile on your face. Like, again, much like with Commander, the rise that these guys have been on over the last few weeks, and as quickly as they've gotten over with the AEW faithful, even though they didn't, look, they immediately rolled into this tag team match that they had. It was Death Riders and the Outrunners. They, like, the referee didn't even wait, like, didn't even cut to commercial, didn't do that whole, all right, let's split them apart, and let's get you in your corner, and you in your corner, you ready, start the bell. There was none of that. He was like, screw it, ring the bell, let's go. Let's just dive right into this. And there were multiple times where I thought Turbo Floyd won this thing. He locked Wheeler down in every kind of cradle I think imaginable. And props to Yuta. He waited until the very last minute to kick out on every single one of these. And again, the storytelling within the matches themselves tonight, I thought was really, really good. You had Claudio, who expressed absolutely no respect for the Outrunners in this match. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, why haven't you been able to beat these dudes yet? Tags himself in and is like, sit there, treating him like still like the Padawan, the young boy. And is just like, let me do my thing. And it's when Claudio gets in there that, you know, it's pretty much all she wrote from that point. He locks in a swing. He gets Turbo Floyd up, gut wrench, superplex. And then I love the rocket launcher where he's just like, I've got this tiny Yuta man. Let me just throw him at people. And that's going to be our finisher. And that's what ended up being the finisher for this matchup.
I love the Outrunners. When I heard their theme song, I was like, like your heart flutters. You're just like, you're so excited to see these guys. And I love that on commentary, they keep bringing up that these are the youngest guys ever. And I'm just like, we know that's not true. We absolutely know it, but we believe it. So them coming out, it was just 10 out of 10. And the quickness of the match, which had happened, I was a little shook because I'm like, oh my God, we're not even getting a minute to breathe. Like we just are going straight into it. Sure. Why
Excuse
not?
Me while I hit pause so I can finish my notes and then I'll catch up during the commercial break.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, wait, like what's happening? I can't even write things down.
Yep.
I liked it though. It was different. So, I hope that they do it in the future, shows that they have. The disrespect for Wheeler Yuta, that's something that might have to be its own show, but I'm not for it.
Anywhere. You can, you know, feel free to vent if you like.
I'm just so tired. This happens every week, Rick. Every week I get on here and I talk about how Wheeler Yuta is being disrespected. He's being underutilized. I get it. They're telling the story. But like Claudio was literally yelling at him. Like after the match was over, he's like, oh my God, like this is how you should have done it. And Wheeler Yuta's just there. Like a loyal man just in the ring, like he's like, I'm just here for my team and I'm going to yell about Wheeler Yuta more when we get to the main event. But what's going on? What is going on, Rick? You tell me.
Do you watch Family Guy?
Oh, no. Yes, I watch Family Guy.
Yeah. Yuta is Meg. That's what's going on here. Yuta.
And you know what's crazy? I hate how they treat Meg and Family Guy. I hate it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yuta is Meg. There is no respect for this man. I would not be surprised if they just started telling him, shut up, Wheeler. Just every single episode. Anytime he tries to cut a promo, just start cutting him off. Because that's just hopefully what it does is it eventually leads him to finally stand up for himself and stand on his own at some point. When I don't know if he couldn't stand up for Orange Cassidy a few, you know, weeks ago or months ago now at this point, like. I don't know when that's actually going to be his breaking point, but you have to feel like at some point down the line that has to come.
Absolutely. I think there has to be a breakaway from that group. And I have a feeling that maybe one of the first matches out of that is probably going to be Yuta against Claudio.
Oh, for sure.
Hopefully before All In, because I'll be at All In, or All Out, because I'll also be at All Out. So either way, just so I can see it.
We did have a question that I Brandon saying I did like the two Death Riders matches tonight, but I have to ask, why didn't they just have a trios match if they have every trio member? Because we're probably getting it next week. Let's be completely honest. That's probably
they gotta spread it out.
Yep. We got weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of shows to fill here.
Yeah.
Don't forget to get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the show tonight. And I promise I will read every single solitary one of them. We heard from Powerhouse Hobbs tonight. This was, if the Hangman segment was my favorite of the night, let's just call Hangman 1A and Hobbs 1B, right? Or flip-flop them around. I loved both of these promo segments so much. Because once again, Powerhouse Hobbs, and this is one of the things that I've loved, over the last week. Like, I think arguably my favorite thing that AEW has done this week is presenting Powerhouse Hobbs as like a massive threat and a guy that you would believe could just decimate John Moxley. I feel like this is how they should have presented Powerhouse Hobbs a long ass time ago. Mm-hmm. He's very, very believable. Ring work speaks for itself. He's believable on the microphone. He knows how to talk. And we saw that tonight with his story. He's not afraid of John Moxley. Moreover, he's not afraid of John Moxley in his hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio. He knows he's going to be walking into a hostile environment on Wednesday. He does not give a damn. He says, look, I've been shot. I have been homeless.
Yeah.
I think he may have said he'd been stabbed. I'm not sure which some of the other stuff that he said. He's like, what are you going to do to me? Kind of a little bit of... kind of stole a little bit of what Cope said, right? When Cope cut his promo, right? Like, what are you going to do to me? Similar aspect there, similar storytelling, but still, I like that Hobbs just comes off and says, look, I'm going to shock the world. I'm going to make you my bitch. I am not afraid of you. When you tell John Moxley you're going to make him your bitch, and then he still runs from you at the end of the night, that's a great way to get Hobbs over, in my opinion. You could argue that it kind of makes Mox look a little bit weak, but the fact that he's willing to do that for Hobbs, I think, speaks a lot for him. And I also like the fact that at the beginning of this whole promo, Hobbs is talking about, look, I was listening. I was paying attention. I heard everything y'all were talking about. You wanted some of these young guys to step up. Here I am.
Yeah, this might be the perfect pocket for Hobbs. I think he is in his prime right now. I think he's shining. He just got back from an injury. I wasn't really sure how I felt about Hobbs since the beginning of AEW. But now, you know, this promo, I was like, okay, I'm getting the layers. I got it. Maybe I'm starting to see. I don't know. But I was very impressed with this tonight. And I'm like, okay, if this is the feud that we're going to get with Mox, I'm for it, because that interaction that they had tonight, I was like, okay, Mox, he's a little big. Hobbs is huge. So I don't know how that match is going to go, but I'm very excited and interested to see how the turnout will be.
I've had the opportunity to meet John Moxley on several occasions. I have stood next to this man. Okay. He is huge.
Okay.
John Moxley is a huge man.
I've stood next to Hobbs. Hobbs is a giant.
Hobbs makes John Moxley look like a four-year-old child. Okay, that's what, comparatively speaking, like Hobbs is to, you know, is to Mox what I am to my son at this point. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like and how it comes off on television. Yeah. It is shockingly surprising. Like, you see somebody on TV and they look small standing next to some of these people. Yeah. And then you meet them in person. You're like, holy shit, you're gigantic, but you look small compared to this guy. Mm-hmm. How big is this freaking guy? Hobbs is that freaking guy. He dwarfs John Moxley. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very interesting to see how John wrestles this on Wednesday. There's no doubt. They're not going to have John randomly lose the AEW world title in Cincinnati on a Wednesday in January. It's not going to happen. I don't care what kind of branding they give it. The outcome is never in doubt, but it is going to be fun to watch this match and to see how John does ultimately come away with the win.
Yeah, we need to see what his offense is going to be, because like we said, Hobbs is a huge guy. What kind of moveset you got? Is Marina going to be out there? That also is going to play a factor, because she was out there tonight and she kind of, you know, Hobbs didn't do anything. And it was Wheeler.
Because he's a gentleman. he's a badass, but he is also a gentleman. He wasn't going to touch Marina.
I would have hit her. That's just me. If you want to fight with the guys, you're going to get hit with the guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Damn. I need a break after that one.
We've been telling you guys about Blue Chew for years, and we ain't stopping anytime soon. That confidence, that performance, that edge that you're going to get in the bedroom and mentally when you check out BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. First shipment free. Yes, shipment. That's because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, have any awkward conversations with doctors, your question online, and if approved, this ships straight to your door. It excludes all the awkwardness. Now listen, so will that confidence. That's going to get rid of a lot of that awkwardness as well. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know it's going to work. They know it's going to work. And that's why they're willing to give you that first shipment free at BlueChew.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Take control. Handle your business. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
No doubt in my mind, John Moxley is going to handle business on Wednesday. But, Arinian, this, I think, just this week has been, I think, a positive turn in the Death Rider story that so many have just panned for the last few weeks of where it has gone creatively. If this is the avenue that they are going to try to take this and use what Mox said originally and help, even in defeat, put over some of the guys who are a little lower on the roster that should be higher on the roster, like a powerhouse Hobbs. If they want to do that over these next several weeks until John ultimately loses the title, whether it's to, whether they decide to pivot and they put it on Kenny Omega in the next, you know, couple of months, or whether they wait until Darby Allin is done climbing Mount Everest, right? And he comes back and he wins the title at some point in the spring or the summer, which appeared to be the direction they were going on when this whole thing first kicked off. If they want to do more stuff like this, I think that is a positive direction to spin this Death Rider story arc here.
Yeah, we've been waiting. Like, the immediate turn on Bryan Danielson, I was like, okay, crazy. What are we going to do with this? And then they've just kind of been beating up people backstage. But it's not the same as when they were beating up people when they were Blackpool Combat Club. It was just like, oh, kind of, we've seen this already. Like, okay, what's going on? All right, you got the little briefcase with you. What are we doing? What's happening? And now you're like, okay, we're getting little side stories. Now, you know, Yuta might leave the group and now Mox might lose. Like, there's just so many possibilities. And I like that they're really playing around with this. And like you said, if they're going to be putting people over, I don't see a problem with that. I think that's a great idea, because Mox isn't going to look like less than if he takes a loss. None of the guys in that group are. Maybe Yuta, because he takes all the losses.
Because he's Meg.
Oh my God.
Because he's Meg. It's okay. You can say it.
Terrible. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it.
Yuta is Meg. That is where we're at. We had hot girl graps tonight. Mariah May, Harley Cameron. I was pleasantly surprised with how this match was booked, Iridian, because this was pretty much all Harley Cameron, honestly. Oh, yeah. In this matchup, which I think is exactly what it needed to be, is how it needed to be booked. She was the one who came in on Dynamite in her own special way and said, hey, non-title, it's fine. Let's just me and you go out there. This was a showcase match for her. Mariah was always going to win this. I wish it would have ended a little bit different, and I'll explain why in a minute. But again, I thought this was an arguably her biggest spot yet in AEW, her biggest match yet. I thought Harley Cameron more than exceeded anybody's expectations should have been for this matchup. And two, she has got the crowd behind her.
Yes.
She has got some legitimate momentum.
I'm telling you, we have the same notes tonight. I'm like, the crowd being behind Harley made me so, so happy, because she's honestly improved tremendously since she's been wrestling, and she's just so talented. She's so funny. She kind of, like, if the Iconics were wrestling and you put her in with the Iconics, oh my God, that trio would have been insane. But she is a true comedian. She's so entertaining. And I love on commentary that they're always pushing for, like, how talented she is. She's a singer. She's a ventriloquist. She's a comedian. And she is all of those things.
Plus, it's almost like they read my article for Sports Illustrated, because I outlined her her entire life from the moment she was like a little girl in this one horse town in Australia to being a journalist, to doing all of those different things, to being here right now. It's almost like Tony Schiavone just read, he talked to her too. There is that. But
it's also a possibility.
He read my article in Sports Illustrated. Did I mention I have an article in Sports Illustrated featuring Harley Cameron? You can read it now.
I'm pretty sure that they read your story on Sports Illustrated.
I'm going to believe it.
I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah. which everybody, yes, go check that out.
Pin tweet, go right there, right there. Pin tweet. Anyway,
she's so great, and like you said, I didn't have expectations of her winning the match tonight, but I was also very impressed that they like gave her that time to really showcase how good she's gotten. Yes, and I'm absolutely a believer that one day she will be a champion. I think she's very deserving of it. I think there's a lot of women on the roster who are absolutely very deserving of it. Very disappointed that we only got one women's match when we had so much time to do run-ins and promos and matches after matches with no breaks in the middle, but only one women's match. All right, whatever. Where's Deonna Purrazzo? Okay. Little rant over, but great Harley Cameron. I'm here for it. Love Mariah. I need more Hot Girl Grabs. She's got a great Hot Girl Grabs t-shirt. I'm for it. You know what, Rick? We need to order some and wear them next week. They're pink, so be ready. Ooh.
Yes. All right. I'll wear it under this. If then, anyway, whatever. I'm fine. I can wear pink. Whatever. I'll rock it. Damn. But I was a little disappointed with the finish, right? Because not that the finish was bad, mind you, this is just personal preference. Like, yeah. I was hoping that we would have seen something in this matchup that would give me hope that Harley was going to win the Casino Gauntlet match, right? Or even be in the Casino Gauntlet match or start a longer program, because as much as Harley dominated this matchup, Mariah won it fair, clean, end of story. She hit the knee. It was a great looking knee, caught her out of nowhere, hit the Storm Zero, done it, over. I would have liked a cheap-ish win or even like a DQ finish. I would have taken in that case, something that would keep kind of Harley in the equation, mostly because I really want her to get that match in Australia at Grand Slam. Now, I understand if you want to put that spot for Toni Storm or somebody else on the roster who's a little bit more up. I just hope if it's not going to be Harley that's winning that, Harley has an opportunity to wrestle in Australia. I would love for that to happen, especially since it's pretty much in her backyard.
Yeah, I hope she gets that moment. Much like Saraya was able to have her moment at Wembley, you know, even if it's not for a title, I think that Harley has worked hard enough that she can have a match there. And I don't know. It's just, man, that women's match, you don't know who's going to be in it. Who knows? But like, I would really want them to build up Harley. Like, this would have been a great chance to start building up her momentum. I don't want the end game to be the Toni Storm against Mariah May to get that championship off of her now that she's back to her rocker self. Like, it's not going to do it for me if that's what the payoff is for this.
I think it would be too soon to have that payoff in next month because what Tony's doing now, much like Timeless Tony, right? Mm-hmm. It has so much legs, so much potential. You don't have to rush into that. You know, and I think you saw that a little bit, right? Because they had her lose on Wednesday. They had Chris Statlander win that match, and she ate the pin, and she's like, you know, I'm just not ready for this yet. And I'm like, yeah, because that means Harley Cameron's gonna get this damn matchup, right? Like, she's gonna steal it, right? On Wednesday. Hopefully, we'll see. There's plenty of options in this women's division. We do have another super chat from Alan. We appreciate it. It says, when are we getting Willow and Marina? I have no idea, but if you want to put Willow on my screen, I'm not going to be mad at it.
Matter I'm of not going to fight you.
I'm going to smile. I'm going to smile because, look, if you don't smile when Willow is on the screen, you have no soul. That's just pretty much what it is. Or that, or you're having a really, really bad day. You know,
it's scientifically proven, I think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We had Brody King murder a gentleman by the name of Trevor Blackwell. Straight up squash match. Julia Hart was out there, watched on with great enjoyment. The interesting part of this is what happened after the match. The match is what it is. Trevor Blackwell might be I don't know, the gentleman might be a great performer, looks pretty well built. Again, much like, you know, Mox and Hobbs, is, you know, he was dwarfed compared to Brody King, as many are. But it was afterwards, right, where Brody is talking to Lexi Nair backstage, said it's a confusing time for the House of Black, which seems to give some credence to the recent rumors that have been posted by, you know, Sean on Fightful Select. Again, best $5 in the business. You've got a Wrestling Observer. You got PWI. They're all saying the same thing. Malachi Black is not expected back in AEW. Mm-hmm. I think tonight pretty much confirms that, right? Because during this promo exchange, you have Adam Copeland who interrupts Brody, kind of reminding the audience about, you know, the wars that these two had prior to Adam's injury last May against Malakai Black in that barbed wire steel cage match. And he said, look, got a ton of respect for you. Not maybe, but it's time for you to step up, take the reins, run with it, and lead House of Black here. I thought that was very interesting. And to me, that confirms things that I don't think Malakai is going to be back.
Yeah. There was so much that went on here from, first of all, when Trevor Blackwell is his name, right? Yeah. He, mm-hmm. when he was in the ring, I was like, is that Jack Perry? Is the, which is great. I was like, I can't believe that Rick is just completely not going to talk about how this was Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy was in there.
Jungle Boy, Trevor Blackwell.
I was like, are my contacts have they been in all day too long? Like what's going
fans
on?
It's a Jack Perry variant.
And that, yes, that's probably what it was. It was probably not from this universe, probably from another universe. And the timelines were crossed tonight on Collision. But when Adam was talking to Brody, I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to be the new leader of the House of Black? Because people forget that Adam Copeland was the founder of Judgment Day. So he was the leader of that group. I was like, okay, he's probably going to be, you know, the leader. I would see it. Why not? Why not? But I absolutely think that it's believable that Brody and Julia could really run the House of Black. It can still be named that. Julia could have her little side part, the House of Hearts, her and Sky, whenever Sky, you know, becomes ready. Yeah. And I mean, I believe it. Brody is a monster. He's a beast. And same thing with Buddy. Buddy just had a phenomenal match on Wednesday. And I think that that group is set, ready to go. They could have a really great run as tag team champions. And yeah, I think Brody needs to take that advice and just kind of go with it, because Cope is going through a lot, you know, and we're all coping with it. So...
But no, you do bring up an excellent comparison, right? It, just because Malakai is no longer, we presume anyway, right? Just because he's no longer going to be around does not mean that the House of Black can't still exist. Mm-hmm. Because the Judgment Day is on what? Year three? Year four? They don't even have any of the original members still in the group. They have reached like season 11 of Walking Dead status at this point. It's an entirely new cast of characters. Like led by Finn Balor, and it looks like he might be on his way out at some point if he and Liv keep butting heads, right? So just because the main character leaves doesn't mean the show, and in this case the group, has to die. There are ways that you can keep it around, and I do think that they have pieces that still work together. And with Malakai not the center focal point, I honestly would make Julia the center focal point of the group while still having Brody be, you know, big beefy guy. You talk about Brody and Buddy possibly being tag team champions. I want to see Brody as a singles competitor and Buddy for that matter. Yeah. Like I could envision a world, not anytime within the next few months, but I could envision a world where Brody is AEW world champion and Buddy is TNT champion. Like I can see that. I can see that vision. And Julia could be the women's champion at that point. Mm-hmm. Like she is very, very good for considering how young she is. What is she? 20, 21.
Yeah. She could go back to get, I believe the TBS championship. She can have a feud with Mercedes. She could be the one to take the, I don't know. Who knows? There's a lot of possibilities there, but you have time to build up a really good story. I don't think that they need to dismantle the House of Black just because Malakai isn't going to be there.
Not at all. Not at all. We did get another, video package, backstage interview, whatever you want to call it. Christopher Daniels accepted Hangman Adam Page's challenge for a Texas death match, which will, again, will be happening next week. Maximum Carnage, the Collision version, which will air Saturday. And then, of course, we'll be right back here. Myself, Aradian, I think maybe Krista will join us. And the trios champs will ride again here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Daniel Garcia defeated Katsuyori Shibata to retain his TNT championship tonight. Commentary really putting over the fact that Garcia had not gotten to the arena until late in the day. Had to change into his gear during his Lyft ride over from the Atlanta airport. And look, he looked every bit of it. He looked tired. He looked jet lagged. He looked like he needed a shower and a shave and a donut or a drink, something like that. He looked like he had a rough day. A lot of snow down in the Atlanta area. So rough travel conditions, everything going on there. So, you know, you had some other talent who couldn't even make it to the show, especially with what's going on out in Los Angeles right now. You know, thoughts to everybody going on out there, because that's just a nightmare fuel, like apocalyptic views out there right now. Yeah. But yeah, Daniel, to his credit, he got there in time. He didn't phone this in already. And he and Cazzioli had a banger of a matchup that Daniel ultimately won with a jackknife cover to really squeak out the victory. And I thought Daddy Magic on commentary said it best. Like, I think we got away with one tonight. And yeah, that was the story that they told. Like, Daniel in real life would have had no business winning this match with the day and the couple of days that he's had. This was a good story that was told again inside the ring tonight.
Yeah. And I love Daddy Magic on commentary. Fantastic. He's just such a light, such a joy to listen to. And the way that he just supports Danny Garcia, 10 out of 10. I would hope that we all have someone in our life, that we all have a Daddy Magic in our lives to hype us up like that. Yeah, he picked up the win and I was like, okay, Danny, good for you. Didn't believe he was going to pick up the win, especially after commentary was like, yeah, he barely made it today. But he didn't look like he barely made it in the ring. Like, that guy was going for it tonight. So I was very, very impressed. Always, like, I love Danny Garcia. So always great anytime that he does anything in the ring. But Shibata, what are we doing with him? What's happening? That's what my question is.
Yeah. Look, I saw some people, you know, talking in the chat earlier saying, hey, look, this might've been his best match since coming to AEW. I don't know if there's a whole lot of, doesn't look like there's a whole lot of creative plans for Cassiori right now, but hey, look, he's still in the ring. He's still putting on good matches.
Yeah.
It does suck though when you have somebody that good and it just doesn't seem like they have much of a direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I'd like to see a little bit more for him at some point down the line. Our main event.
Oh, Jesus. Do we have to call it that?
Should have been Hot Girl Grabs.
It should have.
But it was Chris Jericho and Dax Harwood.
Oh, my God. I felt like, no offense, I felt like I aged 10 years watching this.
The finish was very clunky. It was very, very clunky because you had that spot and it immediately took me out of the matchup because it's like, I don't know. I felt like this one was starting to go off the rails a little bit, mm-hmm. and then it just went off of the rails.
Yeah.
Because you had Jericho who brought the Ring of Honor World Championship belt into the ring. Mm-hmm. He thumbs the, you know, he swings at Dax. Dax ducks, takes him out with, I believe it was a suplex. So he's laying there. The title is on the ground. The referee leans in to check on Jericho, and he gives him the old thumb of the eye as Dax is climbing up to the top rope to deliver a headbutt. Mm-hmm. It appeared as though the spot was going to be Dax comes off the top rope and Jericho moves the title in front of him or on top of him or whatever, and Dax lands on top of the championship belt, right? That did not happen. Jericho... Either Dax jumped early or Jericho did not get the belt over in time. Either way, their timing was off and Dax just hits a good old fashioned headbutt on Chris Jericho. And that kind of forced them to figure out, well, crap, how are we going to do this spot? Because at this point, Bryce Remsburg was coming back around because he had done his job at that point. Yeah. And now it's like, well, the referee is paying attention. Dax hasn't been hit with the title belt yet. How the hell do we get to our finishing point here? And basically what it was Dax had to go over and kind of like shove the referee out of the way so he could get hit with the championship belt.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't even the finish. He kicked
out. The finish was literally 3 seconds later though.
I know. And I love Dax and I think he is so good. But this, like, he gets hit with the spinning back elbow, the Judas Effect elbow. And it's like he gets stunned. And then it's like, I don't know. It just felt like there was like a half second hesitation where he was like, oh, yeah, this is where I fall down. Boom. He just dropped and the match was over at that point. Yeah. And that's where I'm like, OK, I think the match just officially went off the rails. So let's go ahead and just end it right where it is. Yeah, this one got a little bit clunky at the end. It was I'm not sitting here saying it was terrible, but compared to how everything else I think was really executed well on the show tonight, this stood out.
This was probably out of 10, probably
I'd give it a 6.
I mean, this match or the show?
Oh, the show?
Uh-huh.
I give the show about a 6.5, 7.
Okay, well, this
I think
match
they accomplished some stuff tonight.
This match out of 10, 10 being the worst, I would probably give it a 7. It's just, for it to be the main event, I don't think it was great. Like I said, Mariah, like, you know, we said, I think Mariah May and Harley had a great match. Big Bill and Cope had a great match. Commander and Pac, fantastic. Even throw in Jungle Boy and Brody. Put them in there, you know, Trevor Blackwell. I'm so sorry, sir. But yeah, I think that was more entertaining. I don't know. But I guess what it was leading up to at the end,
yeah,
post-match, then I was like, okay, I guess I kind of see where everything was going. So I don't know.
Yeah, we went back to 2020, 2021 AEW with the all-out gang wars at the end of this matchup, because we had the Learning Tree come out. We had Rated FTR come out. We had the Death Riders hit the ring. We had the Outrunners come out as well. This massive brawl is on, which, you know, allows John Moxley then to make an appearance. He sneaks in the ring. He's got Copeland down. He's getting ready to hit him for the dreaded concerto. But then we get Powerhouse Hobbs. His music hits. He comes down to the ring. He absolutely obliterates Claudio with a spine buster, takes the steel chair off the back from John Moxley, and Mox's facial expressions when Hobbs just turned around, like he had just got flicked in the ear. And Mox is just like,
uh-oh.
Oh, I fucked up, you know, like this, and he immediately ducks out of the ring and ducks behind Marina. Like, yeah. That was like such an old school Shawn Michaels, Triple H, let me hide behind China move. Mm-hmm. Like it worked for the moment. And again, I think it really, really put over Hobbs in that moment.
Yeah. I think the winner of tonight was definitely Hobbs. He had a great showing all night. I think they really told the story from the promos at the beginning to him coming out all the way at the end. And I think they're just going to build to a really, really good match. I can't wait to hear the chants that the audience is going to make, the new creations that we're going to get out of this. There's definitely going to be some meat chants. Who knows? But yeah, very, very entertaining post-match stuff that we got tonight.
Including Wheeler Yuta getting slammed through the announcer desk.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to mention that.
How can I not mention it? It was the closing moment of the show. That was the lasting moment. When people think about tonight's episode of Collision, it's going to be Wheeler Yuta's dead body laying across the announcer's desk.
Hold on, because an hour ago, I went on Twitter, 9:03, before we were on air. I said, why is it always Yuta? Can we sacrifice someone else, please? Hashtag no. AW Collision. I literally, you can't see it. It's blurry.
Oh, Jesus.
But I literally follow me on X. It's literally my name right there. But that's what I tweeted. I was like, come on. And people are like, yeah, agreeing with me. So 10 out of 10 people who agree with me. But I'm sick and tired of this always happening to Wheeler Yuta, because that man is a 3-time Ring of Honor pure champion. And you're going to tell me that as an OG member of the Blackpool Combat Club, like, that he can't fight? Because he can. He can. But you guys just keep booking him to always take the pin, to always be at the bottom of the barrel. Like, when you think about alliances, he's at the very bottom. The next person to go home is going to be Wheeler Yuta. And I am not for it. I'm just not. It's not my vibe. That's all I have to say. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
In the context and the landscape of AEW, Wheeler Yuta is Meg. That is just, that's why. That's where he's at. No one respects him. In the context, I agree with you. He's spectacular. He's really, really good at what he does.
Thank you. He's spectacular.
But part of what makes him so good at what he does is he gets his ass kicked really, really well. And that's, unfortunately, for folks like yourself, that's kind of his role right now. He bumps his ass off. He knows how to take a beating.
He does.
He does. He's very good at what he does. He's gonna, hopefully he's getting paid handsomely for it.
You know what? At the end of the day, as long as Willie Gute is getting his check,
yes,
that's what matters, right?
Yes.
That's the check is clearing.
Yes.
You're right.
All good. Iridian, where can people find you? What do you got going on?
You guys can find me all on all social media platforms, Iridian_Fiero. TikTok is coming to an end, and that's literally my life. But make sure that you guys head over to my YouTube channel, Rest Friends. That's WREST Friends. And I have a lot of vlogs. I'll have more interviews. I'm super excited for 2025. I'm going to go to WrestleMania. I'm going to go to All In. I'm going to go to All Out. So make sure that you are subscribed to me, because I'm going to take you on my journey through all of those, take you to all the wrestling shows. And you can see all my interviews on there. But Rick, you shouted out your Sports Illustrated article. So promote that. Where can our listeners find it?
Oh, did I write some stuff for Sports Illustrated?
I think I brought it up.
I don't think I brought it up on the show today or not. No, I did recently talk to both Adam Copeland. This was before he changed his name to Cope. So it's still, if you can actually look up Adam Copeland and find stuff on social media. So I did have a chance to talk to him. Really talked in depth, honestly, about Asheville, North Carolina after Hurricane Helene rolled through. It is still an absolute mess down there. So there are links in that article. To people, you know, nonprofits who are helping out the folks down there. If you want to give them a hand, if you can afford to give a little bit and really help some people who are in need down there. Also talked to him about John Moxley. He had some great comparisons to make about Mox and what he wants out of this rivalry. And then, toward the end of last year, I had a chance to chat with Harley Cameron, who was the star of Hot Girl Graps tonight. And I just wanted to introduce her more to people, like tell her story, because look, you don't go from small town Australia girl to journalism student to cabaret dancer to rock star to professional wrestler, right? That I knew there had to be a really good story there, and there was. And look, I over at Sports Illustrated, I pegged her as breakout candidate of 2025, and I think she's on her way. I think tonight was a good spot for that. So you can find all that stuff, one-stop shop, on my X account at Rick Uccino, as it's spelled right there on the screen, or you can go to the takedownonsi.com. Thank you guys so much. It's good to be back in the saddle again, talking a little AEW Collision. It feels like 10 years since I've been here. Hey, we'll try to make it two in a row next week. Now that the Bengals are officially eliminated and the NFL ain't going to schedule them on Saturdays anymore. So I don't have to work. I can work here instead.
Period.
Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.